Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. All Saints' Day is a time to remember those who have gone before us in the faith. Perhaps it's become a day for you, as it has for myself and many others, a day that causes you to choke up a bit. As our thoughts turn to grandparents and parents and children and spouses and loved ones who have gone before us in God-given faith. The term saint comes from the Latin rendering of the Greek word hagios, holy ones. For a saint is a holy one, that is, one who has washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So sainthood is not about having a lot of patience, as my wife has, or a declaration of a church body's council. To be a saint has to do with being without sin, which we already confessed is not us, and yet is. To be without sin requires having our sins taken away from us. Thus, a saint is anyone who believes in Jesus, that he has died and rose on the third day to take away their sins. So it is right today to remember the saints who have gone in the past year. And I hope I don't have any names missing. We did first service. Jerry Sullivan and Arthur Kufall and Bill Shepp and Dorothy Kroll and James Hansen and Craig Martinez and Elaine Kunzel. Just as it is correct to speak of, and I know this makes Lutherans uncomfortable, but you as saints. I find this truth to be, well, very common in the Lutheran church. You can call a room full of Lutherans sinners, and they don't really get bent out of shape. That's okay, Pastor. Yep, we all are. And it bothers me a little bit that we push it off so easy, because I think then we're not taking seriously our state before God. But if you really want to make a group of Lutherans uncomfortable, call them saints. They get the little squirming. I'm not that good. No, you're not. Neither am I. But Jesus is. He's so good that you're a saint at the same time that you're a sinner, until the day he calls you home to stop being a sinner and only be a saint. Yet if we're not careful, we can shift our focus, as others have in Christendom, to the saints themselves. Scripture reminds us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. So today's reading echoes this great truth. As St. John writes in Revelation, a great multitude from all tribes and peoples and languages cry out, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. That Revelation text for today is one of those that's so frustrating. After the whole litany of 12,000 and 12,000 and 12,000, the sect of Jehovah Witnesses will from time to time come and tell you that your loved one didn't go to heaven. That's one of the things they like to say, because heaven's full. It only has 144,000 in it. But then the next verse after the 12,000, I think that's verse 9, right? A multitude that no one could number from all tribes and all peoples, right? If they just read the next verse, then they would understand that heaven doesn't get full because God is great. How crazy is that? Forgive the side note. As his beloved children, we too shall see him as he is, John tells us in our text in 1 John. For we have been made pure through the blood of the Lamb. This union with Jesus joins us then with angels and saints before God's throne, where we joyfully serve him day and night in his temple, as John describes in Revelation. No doubt, though, in this life we will face struggles, just as the saints who have gone before us do, or did. And heaven forbid if we ever have to face the struggles that our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing over in Nigeria and some other countries in Africa and the Middle East. they're being slaughtered simply for being Christian. The same thing happened in Pakistan or India as well. A whole village just wiped off because they were Christian, and the Muslims wanted the property for themselves. Barely made the news. Keep them in your prayers. Seems like people are waking up to the slaughter that's been going on. But as baptized children of God, we must admit that we fluctuate between saint and sinner, faith and doubt, sacred and profane. All we who are born of woman share in this struggle, except one, the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian who recognizes their sinfulness earnestly then seeks to be where Jesus has promised to be. Jesus is not hidden in need of being found. He's not Waldo wearing a hat and a shirt for you to seek out. He's not waiting for us to find him in our hearts. That's probably just gas. Give it a minute. Jesus is where he has promised to be found, in his word and his blessed sacraments. These are the means by which Jesus gives himself to sinners, declaring them saints, calming our fears, comforting our spirit, and more importantly, and this is most important, forgiving our sins. During our constant struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all believers need Jesus because he's the one who makes us then the blessed in his Sermon on the Mount. Through faith in Jesus, we are declared to be the poor in spirit, the meek, the hungry, the thirsty, the merciful, the pure, the persecuted, with the kingdom of heaven as our reward. This is by grace through faith. We are heirs of that kingdom. For the Son, God's only begotten Son, has set each and every one of us free in his death and his resurrection. John's letter addresses the church throughout time, calling believers what they truly are. You are children of God. You see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. Not slaves, not servants, but his own children. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is it did not know him. By God's grace through faith in Jesus, we are the adopted children, and this blessing far outweighs the curse of the world not knowing us. In fact, the world will reject us because it rejects Jesus as he truly is revealed in the scriptures. But the world desires a different Jesus, a break in case of an emergency, break glass in case of an emergency Jesus, one who fixes our problems only when needed but never challenges or calls us to change in any way, shape, or form. This version of Jesus never calls sin, sin, but only aids us in correcting our mistakes so we can have our best life now. How foolish. Such a message may taste sweet, but it is a poisonous lie from the devil. And it's a lie we'll tell ourselves while hiding in the weeds of our sins, thinking that we are unseen, that we've taken a bigger fig leaf than Adam and Eve and hidden ourselves. If we believe Jesus came only to make our lives easier and more profitable, then may our All Saints Day remembrance and celebration wake you up from the death of sin and return you to God's word. I ask you, was Lazarus living his best life now as he laid out in front of the rich man's house and dogs licked his wounds and he suffered and waited to die? Did the disciples enjoy comfort as they were hunted and killed for confessing Christ? Does the disease and death that's all around us declare to us our best life now? May we always repent of this false theology of glory and recognize that our sainthood is not here, but in heaven. John's words are beautiful and they are emphatic. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself and is pure. It is not enough to be called God's friend or to call God your friend. We are God's children, heirs of his kingdom. This love then should embolden our hearts. Never, ever, ever forget God loves you. Now, as those loved by God, we are called then to share that love with those around us. The world and our flesh will tempt us to confess a different Jesus than the one we have received, because it will make it easier for them. We'll give them a false Jesus out of fear of being rejected. But we must not do this. The Jesus that we need is the one we confess in the creeds, the real, incarnate, suffering, dying, redeeming, rising, and returning Jesus. And he is the one your neighbor needs as well. Never forget, if they reject you for Jesus' sake, it's because they reject him. The Christian saint then is refined by their trials. As the prophet Malachi spoke of this refining fire. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings and righteousness to the Lord. The world's rejection for Jesus' sake is fuel in that refiner's fire, purifying us as we are joined to Christ Jesus and we take up our cross and follow him. So let us give thanks that through Jesus, All Saints Day is about more than just the church past. It is about the church present and also the church future. The true church, that is visible through her marks, that is the word preached in truth and purity and the sacraments administered according to Christ's command, that being baptism and the Lord's Supper. And the invisible church, made up of all who by the grace of God have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, despite inconsistencies and false teachings that rob them of some of God's peace. This glorious church is the bride, and Christ Jesus her groom, presenting her to himself without blemish or defect through his blood-bought covenant. This body of Christ is never then concerned about being perceived as relevant or entertaining, because this message is timeless, eternal, and most definitely needed. Thus, what the world needs today is the same as it always is needed. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith, as Paul says in Romans 3. This gathering of saints, the church then knows that the kingdom of God is present even now as we come to his table. This bride, the church, has one baptism and partakes of one spiritual food, reads one holy scripture, hears the gospel, and sings hymns and liturgies that same speak. That is, saying back to God what is certain and true, because what is certain and true is what God has already said to us in his holy and inspired word. Today we are redeemed, and we are reminded that the church gathers with visible neighbors and invisible, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, to receive what God has to give. Forgiveness, life, and salvation through faith in the only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, then, all God's saints can say together, Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.